This morning, spoke to us during worship and through the songs that we worshiped him with. He spoke to us this morning through the words that have been shared here that people had on their hearts. And I believe if we had our ears here open, I believe something came forth today that will bless every one of us and help each one of us more of a God kind of life. I want to talk to you today about a success story. I didn't think about it in time, but I was going to ask, thought about after service, was all about having Matthew put up there on the screen a blank line, a success story, where you could look at that and you could insert your name into it, because you are a success story. You are a success story. For one reason is if you're born again, you're not going to hell. You're successfully going to heaven. Amen. And that's good. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Daniel this morning and see how his life fits with our life. Daniel was a success story. Have a tendency to judge our future based on our past, based on what's going on in our life right now. And that's really about one of the worst things you can do to yourself. It's trying to judge who you are and to judge your future, how your future is going to be based on what's happened to you in your past. Because every one of us, if we would just, when we acknowledge it, we'll know that there's been some things happening in our past that this was not good. It just was not pleasing. It just was not what we knew that God had intended for us. But listen, guys, you understand this. I know you do, but let me say it to you again this morning. We live in a world that has fallen. The world that we live in is not a godly world. The world that we live in is a group of people, a society of people that is without God, without Christ, that is under the influence of the devil. That's what the world is. It's a society that does not have God in their life. And we know that we are not part of that world. We are not part of that group of people, if you will, because we have been born again. We have been took out of that kingdom of darkness, and we've been placed over into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been given the Holy Spirit to dwell in. He's our guarantee. He is our inheritance. He's a guarantee of our inheritance. We have the mind of Christ. We have all these wonderful things that we are now. That we are now. We're not just a part of the kingdom of God now. We are the kingdom. Now, don't misunderstand what I said there. You know, but we are. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are one with Christ. Right. That'll blow your mind. The Bible, that ain't something you're going to understand with this between the ears here. You're going to have to accept that by faith. The Bible says that you are one with Christ. That's pretty huge. That's pretty huge. And so we face things in our life, and the situations that we go through in life, the crisis times that we go through in life, the troubles and the struggles that we have are not a hindrance to your success. Did y'all hear that? It is not a hindrance to your success. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel here in just a minute and what he went through. But Daniel was successful. You remember the story of Joseph, right? His brothers got mad at him and threw him off in a pit. Then a caravan of traders, slave traders, or wherever they was, come by, and they dig him out of that pit and sell him to the slave trader. And then they go into Egypt and they sell him. And he ends up in Potiphar's house, and then his wife makes a pass at him. Potiphar's wife does, and he refuses, and he gets thrown in the dungeon because she told a lie on him. And he's living in a dungeon, but yet he became a success, right? He became such a success he's second in Egypt in authority. And here's what's cool about that. All that was perfect timing for God to give him wisdom, for them to store up grain for this time of famine, and that stored up grain saved his family, the brothers who threw him in the dungeon, who sold him, to save their lives. So Joseph was a success story. So you cannot judge your success in your future based on what you're going through now or what you have gone through in your past, because in Joseph's situation, as we'll see in Daniel's a while ago, it positioned him to make a huge difference in somebody's life. We were told a story just a few weeks ago. We was in Oklahoma City at the National Conference for the Independent Assemblies. Dr. Terry Law was speaking there, and he's one of those gentlemen that has God just does some amazing things through this man. One of his ministers in I forget which country it was now, and this minister got arrested and thrown in prison and spent some time in prison. And Terry Law was trying to work through the process to get him. He went through the State Department. He went through all the processes you got to do, and finally got a chance to meet with the president of that country, and they set the guy free. And he apologized to his pastor friend that was under his leadership, how they couldn't get him out sooner. But the man said, "Oh, Pastor, while I was in prison, I led 26 Muslims to Jesus." See, you just never know that what you might be going through might be the very thing, your victory might be the very thing that sets other people free. So you cannot judge your success in life but whether you've had failures in life or not. You can't judge your future success based upon what you have experienced in your past. "But Pastor, you don't know what I've done." No, don't want to know either. Not really. But this is what I do know. If anybody calls on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. If anybody confesses before him their sin, he is faithful and just to forgive them sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. He's the one that picks you up out of your pits and puts you on good solid ground. Amen? So you do not ever, ever judge your past, or don't let anybody ever put you down and beat you down because of your past. You are who you are in Christ Jesus because he put you there. He gave you his righteousness. He made you a king's son. No, not David. Daniel was a great success. We're going to be reading out of Daniel chapter 6 today, Matthew. If you want to get ready to put them on the board. We're going to be going through most of the chapter. Everybody say with me, my situation and my past is not a hindrance to my future. Let's read Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Start there. "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be over the whole kingdom and over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, the satraps that might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss." This is pretty interesting. Daniel was, y'all realize that Daniel was a Jewish man, children of Israel. And King Darius was not. But yet he made him a governor. "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above all the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Can you imagine that? The king was giving thought to making Daniel over the whole entire realm. Basically, the same thing that Pharaoh did for Joseph. Put him over everything. In other words, the only person that Daniel would answer to, the only person that Joseph answered to was the king or the Pharaoh. That's pretty interesting. And the Bible says there that all that is a result of the excellent spirit that was in Daniel. And the first point that I want us to look at this morning, think about this, is that we are always, is there anybody here who would not like to have a promotion? No. Everybody wants promotions, right? You want promotions at your jobs. You want promotions in the kingdom. You want promotions, promotions, promotions. And you know why we want that? Because there's something God put inside of us that makes us yearn for that. The first thing that you want to do to be promoted, that you want to excel. Number one was you do not need to be compromising to be promoted. But you got to look at Daniel here. Daniel was one who had an excellent spirit about him. You know what? An excellent spirit to me is something beyond just having a desire to do excellent. When it talks about Daniel having an excellent spirit about him, I believe what it was saying, this is who Daniel is. This is just not something that was created in him because he heard something inspiring. This is because Daniel was a person who had an excellent spirit. It was his nature to be excellent. When he had a thought, it was a thought of excellence. Because if you're just trying to operate out of something that inspired you, what happens when you get all over the excitement, over the newness of that inspiration, you begin to wane in that desire to be excellent. But when it's who you are, you just can't help but be excellent. It wasn't just a one-time thing with Daniel. It's who he was. He was this way 24/7, 365 days a year, all of his life. He was a man with an excellent spirit. And I might say this concerning excellence. Excellence is not being perfect every time. But excellence is doing the best that you can do every time you do it. But Daniel, this was his thought pattern. This was who he was. He was a man of an excellent spirit. And we'll see as we go on even more how Daniel did not compromise to be promoted. See, we have this mentality throughout the world and the world system that is, if you want to climb the corporate ladder, so to speak, or if you want to be promoted, something like that, you have to compromise your integrity. You may have to compromise your character, or you may have to compromise this or that in order to climb that ladder, so to speak. Listen, if you're born again, full of the Holy Spirit, don't you compromise. If God can't promote you, you can't get promoted anyways. I don't care how much you compromise your integrity or compromise your lifestyle or compromise your whatever it might be. If you're trying to gain that position by yourself, you're in trouble. The Bible talks about, for you and I, the born-again believer, promotion comes from the Lord. And he's bigger than anything in anyone. And he can cause promotion to come. You see, what happened here was that Daniel's spirit of excellence, that excellent spirit that Daniel was visible to the king. The king could look at Daniel and he could say, there's something about Daniel and this excellent spirit that is totally different than anyone else. And because of that, I'm considering making him over everything. Can I just say to you also, the next point is that when you start to succeed, that when you position yourself like Daniel did, because he had an excellent spirit to be recognized by those authority and be promoted, that you can, number two, expect opposition after you're promoted. Now, I know that we don't like to hear that. But has there ever been a time in your life when you stepped forward and doing things of God that there was not a test? There's always a test. You can sure get quiet when I talk like that around here. Nobody likes to be tested. We didn't even like tests in school when you were just trying to see if you knew what 2 + 2 was. And we still don't like tests. But what were tests for? To prove to you how much you knew. What are tests for in the kingdom? To prove to you you've got faith and patience for the promise. You should expect opposition after promotion. This is what happened to Daniel. Look, if Jesus himself experienced opposition, because if Jesus is going to face opposition, what makes us think that we won't face opposition? He was tested. He was driven into the desert by the Holy Spirit to be tested of the devil. If he's going to be tested, we'll be tested. But he overcame that. The Bible says he overcame the world by faith, right? So what can we do? Overcome these things by faith. Amen? The other governors and the, I don't know how else to pronounce that word, but the satraps. All these people envied David and set out to do him harm. I said David, didn't I? I meant Daniel. So if I say David today, I really mean Daniel. Daniel 6:4-5. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Wouldn't that be good for that to be said of us? That they can't find any fault in us? Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, These men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. These other governors and these other leaders done the same thing to Daniel that people done to Jesus. They couldn't find nothing wrong with him either, so they hired a couple of guys to come in and testify against him. But Daniel was just a man just like you and I was. He had a man of excellent spirit, and there was such an excellence about him can you imagine not finding any fault? They had to manufacture something. So they sought the king to get a decree made, verses 6 through 9. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king. You know what that means? They all showed up at the same time to complain. And they said to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish this decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius, sign the written decree. Need I say once again to us that we have an enemy out there who is seeking to destroy, kill anything that God's doing in your life. And if you think that he won't do that, you've got your head stuck in the sand. Because we do have an enemy to our soul. We have an enemy to our life. We have an enemy to everything that's of God in our life, and it's the devil. And he runs about like a roaring lion seeking those whom he can devour. And he will come to challenge you. He will come to test you. He will try his best to discourage you and to get you to give up on what God's promised you, or give up on what you know to be right. So you should expect opposition. You got to know something though, guys, and we'll see it a little more in the story. Jesus said, "I give you authority to tread on scorpions and serpents, and over all the power of the devil, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." You and I have got the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us, enabling us and strengthening us and empowering us to stand strong. When you've done all to stand with your loins girt about with truth, and having on a breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and praying always. Yes, there is an opposition, but we'll see on more in this story too with Daniel. But there is an opposition, but we do not fail. We do not lose, rather. Not only have we read the end of the book and see that the whole church world wins, but you as individual win. Amen. Just because we have an adversary who roars does not mean that he's going to win. The best weapon, number three, the best weapon against the enemy, against danger, against anxiety, against worry, against fear, against doubt, against trouble or adversity, is prayer. Let me read it like I've got it written down here. A prayer habit. Daniel's continuance and Daniel's consistency in prayer was a key to his victory. Now when, this is verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, listen to what he did. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave God thanks and give thanks before his God as his custom since early days. This was Daniel's custom for days and days and years in his life was to pray. And this, and even knowing, he said, the Bible said he knew that that writing was signed. He knew what the writing was. He knew that he was, a trap had been laid for him. Because I have a feeling that when all them governors and all them administrators all thronged the king, Daniel wasn't invited. Daniel knew that they were setting a trap for him, but yet Daniel was a man who was not going to compromise. Daniel was a man like, was it Peter or Paul? One of the guys in the New Testament had been put in jail and told him not to, they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, hey, we're going to obey God rather than men. There comes a point in our life when we have got to make up our mind we're going to obey God regardless of what man says. We have been fortunate to most of our lives here in America to live when that's not an issue. But I am concerned that there is one day in this American history there will be an issue whether we are allowed to pray openly and publicly or not. In fact, I would just almost be bold enough to say that unless Jesus comes back first, it'll happen one day. Because humanity is digressing at a fast pace. And we're already living in the times when amazing things are happening. The Bible talks about in the last days there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. They've been those since day one. You know? And there's going to be people going to be talking about peace and all this. And they're talking about peace, right? All everywhere you hear. In the midst of wars and rumors of wars, there's people talking about peace. It even talks about in the last days people running off to mountains and hiding. That's what they're doing in northern Iraq right now. They're running to the mountains to hide. So there's so many things going on in the world, and I don't know that any one individual event like that is what the Bible's talking about, but maybe as a whole or what. But all I know this, every day we're getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And all these things are things the Bible said would happen. You know? I don't know if this is the one time or not, but it's happening. You see what I'm saying? It's happening. And we're going to have to, we'll have to be like Daniel, a man with an excellent spirit and with an attitude of no compromise, and that we're going to stay constant in our prayer life, because that's what's going to be a key to our being an overcomer and being victorious in this thing. Being a Christian is not always going to be easy. But as somebody said earlier, it is rewarding. I'm reminded of a story that I read. I've read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and I've read stories like that. And there was one gentleman that they were about to burn at a stake. And the guy gave him an opportunity to recant and renounce Christ Jesus. And he said, no, you're going to burn me only but for a few moments, but you're going to burn in hell for eternity. My point with that is mankind, apart from God, is destructive and evil. I got a bit ahead of myself there. Now, the next point was trust God, not men. Verses 6, 11 through 17. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, listen to this, and the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with who? Himself. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king. I think that's amazing. The king tried his best to get around his own decree. Daniel, with his spirit of excellence, had so touched the king's heart that I believe the king loved him. And the king regretted making that decree and tried to change it. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So the king gave command that no decree or statute which the king established may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him to the den of lions. Listen to this. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, not like this. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. You got to trust God, not men, when you've been thrown in a lion's den. We talked about Joseph. Now we got Daniel in the lion's den. We talked last week about the will of God, and we made this statement last week, but I'm going to say point number five. The safest place for you and I in this world is inside the will of God. That's the safest place. God will miraculously preserve us when we're in His will. And He'll deliver us out of trouble. Our help comes from the Lord. Our help doesn't come from man. Our help comes from the Lord. Verse 18 through 23. The safest place, now keep this in mind, is in the will of God. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. And no musicians were brought before him. And also his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God." When we do like Daniel, when we're of an excellent spirit and there's no compromise in us, we trust God and we trust not men. Look what the king said, servant of the living God. The king recognized the God of Daniel, which is our God, the God of heaven, who created all things. Amen? He recognized him as a living God. Has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so that they have not hurt me, because I have found..." Listen to this. "Because I was found innocent before him." Do you know if you are in Christ and Christ is in you and you've received Jesus Christ, you are innocent this morning? Innocent. Considered as if had never sinned in your life. That's how so thorough the blood of Jesus washed our sins away, that he eradicated them. They are annihilated. They no longer exist. God has chosen to not remember our sins any longer against us. Amen? He cast our sins into a sea of forgetfulness. You know what a sea of forgetfulness is? A place where you forget. "And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Daniel did not even consider breaking the king's decree as being wrong against the king, because he considered what God said more important than what man said. "Now the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God." I mean, them lions didn't even scratch him. It said no injury was found. That means none. I don't know, probably one of them came over and laid down and let him use him for a pillow. I don't know that, but you know, it's kind of like the day when Jesus went out after he had been rose again, and the disciples were out fishing, and they looked up and there was a man on the bank there. He had breakfast cooking, and it was Jesus. I think Jesus walked up there to the lake and said, "I need 5 fish," and every fish in there stood up on his tail and said, "Pick me." The Bible says God gave us dominion over all the works of his hands. He created fish. He created the lions. He created everything. Why not would a lion lay down and let him use him for a pillow? They were subject to him. Why? Because he was innocent. I throw a little bit of Billy in there, but boy, don't make a good story. Number 6. God has a purpose even in crisis. I talked about this a little bit in the beginning, but God has a purpose even in crisis. The decree that King Darius made now on this occasion was that it was in honor of God, in honor of Daniel, and Daniel prospered afterwards. King Darius about to write again. Verse 25 through 28. "Then King Darius wrote..." Listen to what he wrote, guys. "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel." God made himself real to King Darius. "So much so that he has commanded everybody under his reign to fear and tremble before God." That's amazing. "For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel prospered through the reign of two kings. This is pretty amazing to me. This is what our life of living Christ-like should be an example to all those who are not living Christ-like. Ours should be so real and so dynamic and so mighty in Christ that it ought to influence the lost to do like King Darius did, see God as a living God, a powerful God, a God to be feared and respected and loved. Daniel was a success story. And I want to say to you, each one of you guys are a success story. I hope you don't get thrown in the line of den full of lions. But if you do, God will send an angel and shut the mouth of the lions. Well, what if he don't? Then you're going to heaven. And that ain't bad either. See, that's something that we always fear sometimes. This is crazy, but I don't fear dying. Sometimes I'm concerned about how I'm going to get there. For the born-again believer, who Jesus Christ is Lord, we've won a victory. We've won a victory over sin, and we've won a victory over the enemy. And if we'll stand up like Daniel did and be a man of excellent spirit or a woman of excellent spirit, and we'll not compromise, we'll put our trust in God, not in man, we'll prosper. We'll be the success story like Daniel was and like Joseph was. Amen? Are y'all ready to be a huge success story? Yes. Amen. Well, let's stand up and get started doing it.